I talk loud.
Yeah.
So you'll see me sitting farther away from the mic.
Uh-huh.
But you can get close so we hear you.
Perfect.
All right. Ready to go?
Yeah.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Golden Strip Soundcast, the official podcast of the Golden Strip School of Music. Today we're going to continue our student interviews, and I'm going to let him introduce himself and tell you guys all about him. Go ahead, student.
Well, my name is Zach Taylor. I play the drums here. I take from Kevin. That's pretty much all about me.
How old are you?
Oh, I'm 18. I just graduated from high school.
And where are you headed next?
Middle Tennessee.
And pursuing a degree in what?
Audio production.
Audio production?
Yep.
Oh, well, then you can help us.
Maybe.
You can listen to our stuff and go, that sounds terrible. Let me fix that for you. Very cool. Now, did you have to audition to get in?
I did not. So I did audition for Berklee College of Music.
Okay.
But I didn't get in there, which I'm kind of thankful for now because I've met a couple people. I met one person at one of the churches I play drums at who has worked with both Berklee and Middle Tennessee, the recording departments.
Right.
And he says that the Middle Tennessee's better is what he claims. So
everybody that I've ever heard that went to Berklee seems as though they dropped out before they finished.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's kind of like an elitist school. Hey, I went to Berklee.
Right.
Well, you didn't finish, but but you went to Berklee and thought you were going to be a rock star and you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how long have you been taking lessons from Kevin?
I never know for sure, but we always say, I feel like 10 years is the base that we say.
Has he been your only drum teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. A lot of kids, when they start playing drums, so you were probably 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So did your parents make the decision that you were going to play drums, or is it something where you were like, Mom and Dad, I want to play drums?
So what was kind of weird about how, I don't know if it's weird, but my dad basically introduced me to music. He's not a very music, like he's not very, he plays guitar now, but he never played an instrument when I was coming up.
Right.
But he was always very heavy into listening to music. And so he introduced me to bands like Van Halen, who was his favorite band, and like all those 80s rock groups. And so it was Taylor Hawkins from Foo Fighters, who I saw, and I was like, ooh, I want to do that. And
really?
So I started taking lessons before I even had a drum kit.
Oh, just doing the pad?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, really?
And so then the Christmas after I started taking lessons, because my parents... I had a lot of phases growing up where I'd like go through things.
Right.
And music was the only one that really stuck. So they weren't sure if I was going to be done with it within like 3 months. So they didn't want to buy a kit for me.
Can't blame them.
Right. So I don't remember exactly when I started, but I got a drum kit that Christmas. And that's when that took off.
That took off.
Mm-hmm.
And that, do you have multiple kits now or?
I have the original one and then I got a new one, but I'm thinking about buying another one now.
Okay, so that bug has hit you.
Uh-huh. No, yeah, for sure.
I know Kevin, every time I turn around, he's like, hey, I bought another snare. Like,
uh-huh. No, he does. He always tells me about it.
Like, how many snares does a drummer need? And then I walk into his studio, and it looks like a...
Uh-huh. It looks like a store.
Yeah, it looks like a music store in there. Uh-huh. Oh, this is the drum section of Golden Strip Music Store.
Yeah.
What kind of stuff have you focused on, now that you've decided what you're going to do in college, what kind of stuff are you focusing? Did it change your drum focus?
So it kind of shifted it, not away. So I still play a lot of drums because I play at churches. So that always keeps me busy with the drum side of stuff. But I've started playing piano and now I play bass and I've been trying to learn guitar, but guitars, it's complicated. But basically it's, since I'm wanting to do production, it's forced me to get into like the music theory and stuff. So that's what I've been focusing on. The most is the music theory.
Oh, everything. Music theory. That's something that guitar players hate.
Uh-huh.
We don't like music theory. We don't like reading music. We're not good at reading music because, a C. Which one? I got like 100 of them here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm going to focus on drums for a little while since you, are a drum student with Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
When you were learning, what was the hardest part to do? The hardest part to learn?
For me, it was always time. I would always either rush or drag. It was always staying in time. And now that I've gotten it, I can stay in time for as long as you want me to. But when I was learning, it was definitely that.
Yeah, I'm sure it was. So did you do a lot of time with the metronome, or how did you address that?
It's weird because I didn't really start playing with the metronome until more recently, like probably 2 or 3 years ago.
Really?
So I think it just became kind of like hearing it in the songs and playing along with them. It just became kind of natural. But it was because when I started playing with the metronome, I didn't really need to learn to it. It just happened.
Right.
Which was weird. Because you used the other way. Usually people have to like learn how to play with the metronome.
Right. Exactly. I'll tell you this, a couple weeks ago, we had a video guy come in, and mm-hmm. he was supposed to come in at like 4 o'clock on a Monday when it's really busy. I got tied up, couldn't come here till like six. Mm-hmm. And so there were no students. All the students that were supposed to be here, for some reason, everybody was not here that night. Mm-hmm. So we shot part of the video. Kevin trying to show me how to play the drums.
Oh yeah.
It was a disaster. I could count to eight on the hi-hat. 1, 2. But then as soon as I had to put the bass in it, like 2 and 6, I'd be like, what? Oh, man, it just,
right.
It totally blew my mind. I'm sure if I practice, I might pick it up. But I was like, well, this drumming thing is a lot harder than I thought it was. When you were playing a lot, how often did you practice?
I would practice every day. Usually, it would depend on the day. Sometimes it'd be for like 10 minutes, and then sometimes I'd go for, you know, however long. But like I remember one time when I was younger, we had a recording of a Foo Fighters concert, mm-hmm. and it was like an hour long, and I would, or like an hour and a half or however long, and I played the whole thing, and then I came down, and my dad was like, well, I didn't like play good, but,
right,
but I tried to play the whole thing.
Right.
And I came down because it's in my room, and my dad was like, you've been playing for a long time. I was like, yeah, I was going through the Foo Fighters live show.
Well, you may have just answered one of my other questions who's your favorite drummer and favorite band?
So, if I had to say right now, it's this drummer named Eric Moore, who drummed for Suicidal Tendencies when he was a little younger, but now he's doing, I don't even know what genre to call it, but it's very choppy playing, so there's a lot of fills and stuff. But if I had to say like all time, it would have to be like Taylor Hawkins or like Neil Peart, of course, or like, I like Max Weinberg. And Jay Weinberg a lot. I don't know if you know both of them. You probably know
Max. I know Max.
Yeah. So Jay is his son.
Oh, okay.
And he plays for heavier bands. So.
More of my kind of music. Mm-hmm. Yes. So thank you, Mr. Jordan. Do you have a separate like band that's your favorite where you love their music, but you don't idolize their drummer?
I mean, I listen to a lot of the old stuff. Like I listen to a lot of Eric Clapton. I listen to a lot of everything. But, I couldn't name a favorite band, probably.
Hey, it's good to be well-rounded.
Uh-huh.
You know, and not just be stuck with one band.
Right.
You know, like, we have some students here that, you know, Van Halen's it. That's all they want to learn. You can't blame them. I mean, it's Eddie and they're guitar students, so they pick one, but...
If I have to... So, I always say that Slipknot is, like, the band that got me into music. Is like because that's who I really started listening to, and I was like, oh, I really enjoy this.
Right.
And so that's who Jay drummed for Slipknot, Max's son for the Weinbergs.
I'm a Slipknot fan and had no clue about that.
Mm-hmm. After Joey left.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Joey took over.
Wow. See, now I learned something new. What's that saying on the internet? I was today old when I learned that. Because I love Corey Taylor.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the all-time great singers in mm-hmm. rock.
Yeah, he was one of my... I've read 3 of his books, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're all really good.
You're pretty well-rounded. You're not just...
Yeah.
You're not just the caveman drummer.
Mm.
So, you've been taking lessons so long from Kevin.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like to take lessons from Kevin Hoyer?
Yep. It's progressed. So I've kind of felt it in like stages. So in like the first part, it was very like learning the basic like beats, learning all the parts of the kit,
right.
And like learning a lot of like book work, just like trying to learn the basics. And then we went into a phase where we kind of just learned songs, and that was a big chunk of it, which I enjoyed a lot. But when I started talking about auditioning for Berklee, we started branching out again, and we've been doing a lot of more book stuff again, and we've just been playing a lot, which we had never done before. And so that's fun. Like, we'll just go for 10 minutes at the most, where we'll just go back and forth, which I really enjoy doing that. And so, yeah, but it's always been, like, comfortable coming in to take from him. Like, it's never been like, oh, I gotta go take drums today. It's like, right. I get to go to a drum lesson today. Right. It's not been, like, a task, which is...
Right. And so you're the second one of his students that's been here so long that when I ask what your initial impressions were of this place, you don't have one because it grew with you. When you first came in, there was probably nothing in the performance area. Mm-hmm. But maybe the lounge was done. Maybe it was just being painted black or whatever. So you have not had the aha moment.
Right.
But what do you feel is different here versus any place else where you've been?
Well, so I still go... It's much more homey here. It feels a little dark. Sometimes I don't want to say that because I still go there and I still love...
Wendy? Is it Wendy you take from, or...?
No, he's newer. His name's Randy. Okay. But I still go into the store all there all the time, and I still talk to all the people who work there. But it's very... It feels much more professional here, and, like, walking in... Like, I remember when I came into the lounge or the waiting area on the first day, I was like, oh, this is really nice. Like, it's not something that I had seen before.
And that's one of the things we try to do is just make it different because, like I tell everybody, when I took lessons, my kids took lessons. Waiting was terrible. You had a folding chair somewhere if you were lucky.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Or you just went and sat in your car because you didn't want to be in there. So I tried to make it someplace where, you know, parents or older siblings that have to drive them can just chill,
right,
relax, do their thing. Obviously, you've been to a lot of concerts in your day.
Yeah.
What was your favorite one?
Slipknot. Me and my dad went to L.A. To see them because they weren't really... They didn't have any shows around here, so we went... They were in San Bernardino.
So you went all the way to L.A.?
Me and my dad went all the way to... And my dad's not a Slipknot fan, but he liked... Volbeat was playing.
Oh, yeah. I love Volbeat.
So he likes Volbeat a lot. So they were opening for Slipknot. I wouldn't say open. They were, like, sharing the headline kind
right.
of.
Right, yep.
And that was an experience... Because the amphitheater, I think it was called Glen Helen Amphitheater, was where we saw them. And that there was like 80,000 people there probably. It was
holy
massive.
Cow.
Mm-hmm. And we had really good, like, we weren't in the grass. We were still in the seated areas. So it was, that was really cool. That was one of the coolest concerts I've ever been to.
Right. That I have not been to see Slipknot or Volbeat. Mm-hmm. Once you have kids, you're...
Right.
I'll tell you a little bit old. I took my son to Nashville. And we saw, it was an opening concert for Avenged Sevenfold.
Right.
2-3 years ago, something like that. Of course, we go to Nashville, and it was during like a snow and ice storm. And everybody else was like, it's never been this cold before. The weather's never like this. I'm like, that's probably because we're here. We had to drive from South Carolina in the ice. But, I mean, that was cool. Your dad sounds really cool.
Yeah. He is.
I mean, he introduced you to... good 80s stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So he must be around my age in his 50s.
Mm-hmm.
He introduced you to the music.
Right.
So I'm assuming he's been real supportive of your career decisions. Right. And
both my dad and mom, I don't think, when I started playing at churches, probably about a year ago, I don't think they've missed a service when I've been playing.
Really?
So they're very, and they were here when I was playing out at the showcase.
Right.
So they haven't really missed anything that I've been playing in.
That's very cool.
It is.
It's very cool. Did you do a lot of sports as a kid too, or mostly just the music scene?
I played football.
I'm not shocked by that. You look like you could knock one of these walls over pretty easily. All right, let's see. What else do I have? Normally, I'd be asking you to ask Kevin questions.
Oh, yeah.
So instead, do you have any questions for me?
Well, I read that article they had about you. And so, how long did you play guitar?
40-some-odd years.
Oh, yeah, so a long time.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I started when I was, however old I was when I got to 8th grade, mm-hmm. because I begged my parents for a guitar when I graduated from 8th grade as my present. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, you probably never heard of Montgomery Ward's, but it came out of a Montgomery Ward's catalog. The Christmas before, I was like looking at him, like, this is what I want. I circled it, took the pages out, all that stuff. So... I quit for a while,
mm-hmm.
just because I couldn't play anymore, and then decided to do this. So I play a little more. Sean Allen, our guitar teacher, fixed my posture. Because I told him my wrist hurt so bad when I was playing. And he was like, let me see how you're holding the guitar. Sit down. So I sat down. He goes, God, your posture's terrible. So he fixed me. My wrist still bothers me just because the joints hurt all the time anyway because I'm old. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot better now. Let's see. What else do we have here? I think I pretty much covered it. This is easy. You know, in and out. Unless you've got more that you want to chat about.
I mean, I have one more question.
Okay.
Because I'm learning guitar now.
Okay.
So what was the hardest part for you when you were learning, if you remember?
Oh, my God. Well, first of all, being able to make any sound that didn't sound like a screech. Mm-hmm. But learning not to press the strings hard. You gotta have a light touch. Mm-hmm. And a great example of that is how easy it is, like, say your open chords, like your C or your right. D. You press too hard right there. You don't want a death grip on there. Just enough so that it makes a sound. That was the hardest part. And so I find that if I play guitar with like medium jumbo or jumbo frets or a taller fret, mm-hmm. that forces me to play light. Because when the guitar is hanging downstairs, if I press even a little too hard, it just immediately goes sharp. Mm-hmm. I mean, it sounds terrible. So that was the hardest part. Just getting my fingers used to it.
Right.
And that's the other thing, like, you know. You're probably doing the spider walk.
Not yet. I mean, I that's what I've been working on the most is scales because I've just become very upset with chords.
Upset with the chords?
Yeah, I don't like playing chords, so I've just been doing scales instead.
Okay, because, okay, Yngwie.
Yeah, I know. I just don't like I because it's always the fingers touching the other strings for me because I got large fingers, so I just hate. I don't like the chords, so I just stopped.
But you're digging doing the scales.
Uh-huh. No, yeah, that's fine.
What scales are we working on?
Basics. C major, you know. Yeah. All the majors.
All the majors? Mm-hmm. You're going to find sometimes it's really fun playing stuff in minor.
Right.
Just because you can get so dark. Mm-hmm. When you're not doing a scale, are you learning any jamming tunes or?
A couple. I've learned. Like, I can play, like, three songs.
And so nice.
That's one of them's, like, an acoustic one, and then, like, other ones are just, like, parts. I can't play the whole thing, but I can play, like, a couple riffs from them. But
that's a great start.
Yeah. So I have enough to where if someone's like, hey, play something. I can play something and then wait for a little while and then come back maybe a little later and play something else. And so it'll satisfy them for just enough.
Right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just get off my back.
Right.
Yep. I had my brother-in-law one day, a couple of years ago. He was like, he wanted me to play some song. I forgot what the heck it was. But I was like, I used to know it but I can't remember. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Especially on demand. I'm just like, no, couldn't remember any of it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's one of the cool things about guitar, too, because you can take it with you places.
Right.
You know, impress the girls.
Which is one thing I do like more about guitar, but right now, piano has won me over the guitar.
Yeah, you got it. Your fingers are going to get confused because the thumbs are one and piano, right? Mm-hmm. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And mm-hmm. guitar, it's 1, 2, 3, 4. On right. one finger, on mm-hmm. one hand. Mm-hmm. So it can get very confused. My daughter plays piano.
Okay.
And she tried to teach me a little bit. She was numbering my fingers, and it just totally confused me. Mm-hmm. I've had so many years of just having four fingers to deal with, you know? And so I was completely confused. So good on you. Mm-hmm. What's it like playing a bass?
Oh, I like the bass.
Is it like the drums with strings or what? I've never played one. You would think I've played one, but I never have.
It's very, so it's an easier guitar with very drum, like rooted.
Like, right, because you have to have rhythm to play the bass.
Which is, and then it's just, I like it so much because you don't play chords. It's just one note, like all the time, and then you just walk around however you want to. But yeah, it's there's a lot more rhythm to it, which I like a lot more. And so that, I've enjoyed bass a lot.
Yeah, I think it lends itself to a drummer to play bass. Sure. Yeah. So I know the other day, our bass teacher was having a conniption over a drummer that he worked with that was not real good. So he was imitating himself, just banging the beat on his bass, trying to get the drummer to follow him. He's like, so I'd just be like, and the drummer had no clue what to do. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, that's got to be frustrating.
Yeah.
So what's it like? I've never played at churches. What's it like playing at churches?
So one of them, that I play at is very professional. Like, it's an acoustic set, and it's very, like, they'll look at you dirty if you mess up. So going into that was very nerve-wracking, but now that I'm in it, it's okay. And then another one's much more laid back, and I like playing at the other one more because it's an acoustic set, and the other, it's electric.
Right.
So they both wear monitors now. The one church didn't for a very long time, but now they're just starting to wear the monitors and have the mix and all that stuff. So, yeah, that's the biggest thing for me was I'm not nervous in front of crowds. I'm nervous with other musicians.
Right.
Because all the people at the one church play every instrument. And so they know when you mess up.
Right.
Where other people may not, even if it's a little mess up. So that's always scary when you're with those kind of people.
Do they critique you afterwards? Like, dude, you screwed this up? Or they just kind of give you the dirty look and move on?
Well, I'll always admit it first. So I'll be like, oh, yeah, I messed that part up. Because I don't want them to think, like...
You didn't know.
Right.
Yeah, but, yeah, I get it.
So it's not like I mess up often, but when I do, I'll always... Because it's usually in rehearsals anyway, so I'll always be like, oh, yeah, I screwed that part up.
Right. With the church, like on the day you perform for the service, do you guys just like go in, do the music and leave? Or is it where you've got to play something at the beginning, the middle, and the end?
So we play at one church, we play three at the beginning and then one at the end, and then we're done with the service. And then at another one we do, it's kind of strange, we do two. Then there's the sermon, and then we do another one, and then there's like either a baptism or whatever, and then we play another one, and then it's done.
Oh, so you're basically there start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
You don't get to sneak out after you do some songs at the beginning.
No,
because I know church for my in New York that they would do that,
right?
And there'd be like three or four songs at the beginning, and then the musicians would just disappear,
right?
And I was like, don't we get anything like after a sermon or on our way out?
Right.
It's just quiet and people talking on the way out, which was totally weird because I grew up in the Catholic church. So
You
got something when you leave, even if it's just an organist, you know, which is always. I wish we had more of, I always call the other churches rock band churches.
Okay.
I wish we had more of that in our church. We have, I think they have like a Sunday evening service. They call it the teen mass. And it's a little bit more like that, but it's still a little too church music.
You're classical.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call it. But
yeah. Along those lines. Yeah. Where I'm kind of like, this is so boring. You guys need to step it up a notch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. So you guys step it up the notch.
Yes.
Do you have some songs that just totally rock out, or is it mostly?
There are a couple. There are a couple where there's.
Are those ones where you're like, oh, thank God this song's coming up?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Most of the songs are usually pretty good. Most of them are pretty entertaining. They're all very similar, so you can always play the same thing in each one and just get away with it. But
oh, really?
There are a couple that are, they're pretty fun to play.
Yeah, those are my favorite kinds, the ones that kind of give the, what do you call, attendees. I was going to call it the audience, but it's not. They're attendees at that point.
Right.
Something to move to or feel like you want to move to it, you know, because like, and in those churches, I'm imagining people do. I need to get out more apparently because I really don't know anything about the churches in the South.
Yeah. No, I was surprised when I came in for, they had me do a couple of days where I just sat in and I played a little bit, but they want you to hit it at that church, which is really like they encourage you hitting the drums very hard, which I like that.
Oh, really? There's none of this? Because you're bringing it down a notch stuff?
Yeah, no, they want you to go all out, so I like that.
That's very cool. Fun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when they do play drums at our church, you're kind of like, did I just hear a drum?
Uh-huh.
You know? Because I'm pretty sure they have those, I think Zildjian has those cymbals that don't make a lot of noise. Mm-hmm. You barely hear them.
Right, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure that's what they're using because they hit it, and you're like, that's the weirdest sound. What? Mm-hmm. Hit that thing. What's wrong with you? I feel like standing up and going, hit the damn drums. I think I'd get in trouble though.
Yeah.
Well, that is it, man. I really appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, of course.
And we'll get this on. You'll get to tell all your friends about it tomorrow.
All right,
man. Have a good one.
Yeah.
You've been listening to the Golden Strip Soundcast, the official podcast of the Golden Strip School of Music.